Oh, boy. That was a lot more of a headache than it needed to be. Welcome, nerds. Good night. I go and update the streaming software, and then nothing works, even after I had already... Oh, and now I'm screwing with the camera. Look at me. But I did my tests and everything, so it should have worked just fine. I don't understand. Anyway, we should be live. Something says we're not. No, okay. I'm still figuring this out. All right. Hey, look, stream's up. We're going. Hello, Mr. Ortiz. Sweet, it works. One of the things I was wondering if it was going to work was the new software, and it's working just fine. So, it has been a minute since we did a live episode. Oh, did I forget to? I think I might have forgot to double check something. So I'm going to try and talk to you while I'm double checking something. Where is it? Oh, no. Reading. Oh, poop. Okay. Why is reading not working? Because that was minimized, I bet. Yeah. All right. So we have a show to do. It has been a minute since we've done live. I am curious, as we are getting into this, if since you are the one that interacts the most, Christopher, we are, like I said in the most recent episode of the regular show, we are getting close to that time of year where I stop doing regular shows and we do a modified version where I get, I cut back to either doing just rumors, or I'm thinking this year maybe we might do, this is super hot and I apologize. I'm thinking maybe this year we might just do live shows and move the live show to Wednesday night and then don't do anything on Friday night. Because I actually have a few scheduling conflicts throughout the end of the year on Friday night. And then so that way we have the one episode and then I can clip shorts off of the live show to go onto the, Nerd News Clips channel. So, that is the question I am postulating to you and anyone else who may want to chime in chat. I'm really digging this new setup. It looks great. And the most beautiful thing about it is... Oh, and we're not even going to get to that until we're into the second part. So, no, that didn't work like it was supposed to. That was supposed to be a transition, not just a rough cut. But I guess quirks are still being... Quirks are still being worked out, it would seem. So, my apologies. But let's talk about the news, shall we? Everything should be running smoother tonight, too. So, let me know if we drop frames and I don't notice it. Because I'm not always looking at the stream window on the software. Anyway, so apparently we have quite a bit of stuff that has come out in the last few days since late Tuesday. On the gaming side of things, we have Tokyo Game Show happening. So we'll probably talk a bit about some of that stuff because Microsoft just did their broadcast and Capcom did theirs. And so, yeah, there's plenty to talk about. But we have J.J. Abrams woke Constantine dead along with Madam X at HBO Max. Justice League Dark doesn't look to have a bright future. Uh-oh. Abrams just signed on to do something. The other Constantine, I'm pretty sure. So Zaslav, welcome back, Keanu Reeves. David Zaslav and Warner Brothers Discovery have gone out and canceled two projects by J.J. Abrams and the woke Constantine reboot, the Madam X Justice League Dark spinoff at HBO Max. Today saw the news that Zaslav's choices to head WB Films ushered in the deal to bring back Keanu Reeves as Constantine in another installment of the 2005 movie reuniting Reeves with original director Francis Lawrence. Also, Abrams is going to be producing on this, or at least Bad Robot is, which is J.J. for all intents and purposes. Variety's reporting the J.J. Abrams Constantine HBO Max series is now dead, along with another just... Yes, okay, keep repeating yourself. I don't want to hear the same thing over and over and over again. Part of Abrams' big Warner Brothers deal, or Warner Media deal, Abrams was to develop Justice League Dark and spinoff projects. However, recently saw it reported Abrams' deal is being re-evaluated. Is this a link to... Yes, it's a link inside to Cosmic Book. Back in May, we had to have talked about this. Yeah, oh yeah, because this is talking about the possibility of Cavill. This is one of the rumor sources for Henry Cavill coming back as Superman. All right. Variety does offer that both shows are being shopped elsewhere. And that, I don't understand how that is possible. We got the same thing with Caped Crusader. And that one seems to actually be potentially going somewhere. But like, how do you shop Warner Brothers owns the Batman IP. How do you shop a Batman show or any other DC show to a different streamer? That doesn't make any sense to me. Go for the lives Wednesday night. Yeah. So that's kind of the idea is we'll be, instead of Friday night, it'll be Wednesday night. That'll take place of the regular show. And then, I can take the extra time that I'm not using for research and such to update graphics and intro sequences and all that jazz as needed. I don't even know exactly what I need to update for the next season, but we will be taking a look at that and then kind of evaluating from there. So Warner Brothers Discovery has also axed Abrams' expensive sci-fi series Demimonde, the Shining spinoff Overlook. Well, that kind of sucks. I was kind of interested to see what they could do with a series. And then My Glory, Was I Such a Friend? I don't even know about that one. All right. So that's interesting. Keanu Reeves is back. This is the one where we break down exactly who all is. Yeah, there we go. This is everybody that's associated with the actual Constantine movie that is apparently going forward at Warner Brothers. Keanu Reeves is back as Constantine, as another installment to the 2005 movie is in development with J.J. Abrams attached as the producer. See, it's not completely getting rid of Abrams. The details include that Keanu Reeves will be reunited with director Francis Lawrence. We already talked about that. Akiva Goldsman is writing the screenplay. He wrote the first screenplay, I'm pretty sure. He also wrote Batman Forever, Batman and Robin, A Beautiful Mind, iRobot, and the Fringe series. Star Trek Discovery, Titans, Star Trek Strange New Worlds, and Star Trek Picard are all under his producer's hat. Goldsman is on as a producer for this as well, along with Abrams. And yeah, this is a continuation of the first Keanu Reeves, as my microphone falls away from my mouth. This is a continuation of the first Keanu Reeves movie, out 2005, made $230 million worldwide. So not a huge release necessarily. Next, we have Warner Brothers Discovery licensing. Oh, yeah, here we go. So this is the thing. I don't know how this works. So maybe this article will lay it out for us. It's learned that both Batman and Lord of the Rings are getting licensed out by Warner Brothers Discovery. In a shift from the previous administration, Warner Bros. Discovery and CEO David Zaslav have made it clear that they are opening to licensing their IPs, which is a contract to when... to when Jason Killer ran things at HBO Max. We have a ton of content that has been sitting idly for just purely principled reasons. Warner Bros. Discovery CFO Gunnar Weidenfels said at a Bank of America event on September 8th. Interesting. So it would technically still be they would own it. So it's Warner Brothers themselves that are shopping it around. They don't have the funds to back it up, but they still own the rights. So they would split the rights with whoever made it. That would be really interesting. To continue the quote, Lord of the Rings is a great example. It is a non... Oh, wait. Yeah, that's right. Lord of the Rings is a great example. It's a non-exclusive window, and we look at it as what we are giving up versus what additional revenue we are generating. The CFO added, noting that there are positive knock-on effects on our own platforms as well. Huh. I feel like there's still a little bit here that needs to be fleshed out, so... It would be temporary. Sorry, back to the starting. It would just be temporary. So through about half of the month of November, the entire month of December, and then potentially half of January to all of January, depending on how long it takes me to do the updates. That's what I call the down season. So it's not like we don't exactly take that time off, but I do less content so that I can update all of the graphics. So it would be a temporary change, and then we would get back to a regular program the end of January or early February. That's what I do. That's what I've done for the last three seasons. Is that's my season changes, November through January. And because I am technically still working, it makes it last a little bit longer. Because like. Other channels that do a similar thing usually only take a month off, but that's a whole month off with zero content. And I don't think the channel is to a level where I could do that and the growth would continue the same way. So because of that, I continue to put out some content weekly to quasi daily. And so it makes the down season a little bit longer than other channels that only take a month off. So that's why it needs to happen, and it will only be temporary. But back to the news. I just opened the wrong window. All right. in the case of the... Oh, wait. Where did we leave off? CFO added. Basically, what is... going on is that the number of new subscribers doesn't warrant keeping various IPs exclusive to HBO Max. So Warner would retain the rights, but they don't have the money, it seems. So in the case of Lord of the Rings, movies that were exclusive to HBO Max aren't bringing in new subscribers and probably aren't being watched much. So when Amazon contacted Warner Brothers Discovery to release the Lord of the Rings movies on Amazon to promote the release of Rings of Power, Warner Brothers Discovery said, hey, why not? We can make some money, and agreed to do so. Regarding the Batman... The J.J. Abrams and Matt Reeves Batman Caped Crusader animated series was recently canceled at HBO Max, along with lots of other animated projects, but it is being shopped around to other streamers, with Netflix, Amazon, and Hulu said to be the big contenders. Obviously, they're the only contenders. Again, something like Batman Caped Crusader animated series doesn't seem to be a big draw to bring in subscribers to HBO Max, so Warner Brothers decided to license it out to other streamers. Okay, all right, that makes much more sense then. I feel kind of dumb for not putting those two pieces together previously. So that's cool. Theoretically, that could mean a lot more DC Warner Brothers content, which I'm always down for as long as it's done well. Hasbro Pulse Con returns with Marvel. Interesting. Come on, open. There we go. Hasbro announces the return of Hasbro PulseCon 2022 on September 30th and October 1st, so 2 days. It promises fans of one-of-a-kind experience to celebrate the company's iconic brands. Reaching fans in the U.S., Canada, U.K., Germany, Hasbro PulseCon will be live-streamed exclusively to the Hasbro Pulse YouTube channel. Oh, that's cool. So it'll be free. So it'll be kind of like DC Fandome. Only without the paid stuff on top, it seems. Check out images, blah, blah, blah. Hasbro PulseCon 2022 will feature engaging brand panels, exclusive content drops. Interesting. 55 new product reveals, celebrity appearances, exclusive Hasbro Pulse Premium member opportunities, long awaited. So Hasbro is trying to do something like a Comic-Con. It seems that this is something that's happened before, but I don't remember hearing much about this. Because all the Star Wars toy stuff happened last year on Star Wars Day, didn't it? When they did the event for Star Wars Day. Marvel entitled release date pushed back. Could be Deadpool 3. Would explain why it's not at D23. That's true. Not good enough for us to dive into. Star Wars Rogue Squadron from Patty Jenkins removed from schedule. Oh, no. This one's been rumored for a minute as being squashed. And now we might be taking more steps in that direction. Patty Jenkins' Star Wars Rogue Squadron might not happen, and now it is learned Disney has removed the flick from its release date schedule. Squadron was supposed to be released December 22nd of next year, but that isn't happening anymore. Ooh, that stinks. Patty Jenkins is working on Cleopatra. She did Wonder Woman 3, or is doing Wonder Woman 3. Did Wonder Woman 3? Does the third one already happen? No, that's only two. Blah. Future schedule. Yeah, see, I can read. Shush. we can also add Patty Jenkins' IMDb shows she's not directing any new projects. What's going on, according to the guy who runs Cosmic Book News, is that because 1984 was such a bomb that Warner Brothers is taking, not Warner Brothers. Marvel, Disney, words, wow. Disney is taking them off of, there is a strong argument to be had, but that is still technically rumor territory. She-Hulk teases Daredevil costume, new suit. Deadpool 3 set to film next year with Stefan Kapichik back as Colossus. Brie Larson and the Marvels cast meet Harrison Ford. Blah, why do I care that they met Harrison Ford? Joseph Kaczynski rumored for Green Lantern. Avengers Kang Dynasty gets Ant-Man and Rick and Morty writer. Huh. Jeff Loveness, who is known for his comedy writing on Rick and Morty and Jimmy Kimmel, and Loveness is writing the upcoming Ant-Man and the Wasp Quantumania movie for Marvel. Shang-Chi director Destin Daniel Cretton, that's a lot of names, was previously announced to be directing the flick. Jeff Loveness is writing Ant-Man, which will feature Jonathan Majors as Kang the Conqueror, who first appeared in Loki Season 1. Oh, I hate journalistic writing. There's just repetition after repetition. However, has to be questioned is what is the tone of Avengers Kang Dynasty? That is a valid question. Though, to be fair, Joss Whedon back in the day said that he specifically cast comedians in serious roles because if you can do comedy, then drama is easier, according to him, because you have better timing. If you have good comedic timing, then you have great dramatic timing. It worked pretty well for the Serenity movie, the Firefly movie, Serenity. So, I mean, there is that argument. I don't know how much water that holds when you consider this guy writes for Rick and Morty and, what was it, Jimmy Kimmel. Yeah, that's questionable at best. And then to go into a treatise about whether or not the MCU is too goofy. I feel like that's not really a question, is it? Halo Season 2 has started production. Don't really need to go into the article for that. That's just pretty cool. Filming in Iceland. As weak as I feel like the first season ended, I think Season 2 could still save it. I did watch all of those episodes, and it was fun up until the last two episodes. I really thought it was great. Questioned a couple of the choices up until that point, but then, yeah, it was questionable. To be repetitious myself. Henry Cavill, Chris Hemsworth, Gal Gadot tease Netflix Tudum event. Oh, Tudum again, because that's the noise. People's Joker Trans Batman movie yanked. Don't care. Chucky season 2 trailer and posters released ahead of October premiere. Oh, I totally forgot. Chucky, the sci-fi channel series, not the movie. This is the continuation of the original movies that is now a sci-fi series. Totally is going to be airing season 2 come October. I don't remember what date. Let's see if they give us the date in here. That's... Waiting for October 5th. There we go. October 5th is the release date of the first episode of the next season. So... Chris is adding to the conversation. I feel like Avengers Kang Dynasty and Avengers Secret Wars are going to be like Avengers Infinity War and Endgame. I don't think so. I think I'm going to disagree with you a little bit on that one. I think there is going to be, well, obviously there's the big differences is Kang Dynasty and so far what they've announced for Secret Wars, their series versus movie. So we have potential for a lot better development of story and development of characters. Hopefully by then they're not still introducing a bunch of new characters, but I mean, it is modern Disney, so that might still happen. But I think that with Endgame, the tone of Disney in general, let alone Marvel Disney, meaning like a two part. Oh yeah, for sure. I think both of those movies will culminate in movies. I think that is 100% accurate, but I think, Kang Dynasty will be the end of a phase. I can't really think of what phase it might be right now, but the whatever movie that culminates in will be the end of like phase 7 or something. And, Secret Wars will culminate in a Secret Wars movie, but I think that they're going to be kind of split apart more so than we got with the Infinity War and Endgame split, where those were split by 2 years. I think they're going to split Kang from its movie sequel effectively, and Secret Wars from the Secret Wars movie. There's going to be more like 3, possibly even 5 years between them, because all of this other peripheral stuff has to be happening at the same time, because that's the way that phase 6 is where we're going. I don't think that the Kang movie will finish phase 6. I think there's going to be something between the Kang series and the Kang movie. I think the Kang movie will happen in a different phase. So, Secret Wars, they haven't announced the movie officially, though, I mean, there's been leaks. We've talked about them on the main show for months at this point, that there's going to also be a Secret Wars movie, which makes sense. So the story that they start in those two series is not going to have a proper conclusion in the series. They're going to build those into movies. But at the same time, they have to have, again, there's a bunch of periphery that's going on at the same time. So we're going to see, very likely before we get to the movies, we'll see the introduction of the X-Men or mutants, maybe more specifically. And we'll probably see the end of phase 6, and we'll rock into phase 7, maybe even get to phase 8 before we actually see the conclusion of those stories, because of all of this other stuff that they're going to start the momentum towards. And then we'll get the Kang movie will be, phase 8's probably a little bit pushing it because each phase is like 5 years. So yeah, it will probably be like the beginning of phase 7 is when we're going to see some sort of culmination of what they start with the Kang series and the Secret Wars series. I could be wrong, but that's kind of what I feel like, because of all of the things they have on their plate, it seems like that's the direction it's going to go. But yeah, I totally agree. There is going to be a two-parter feel to it. It's just going to be, the first part's going to be series and the last part's going to be movie. All right, back to Chucky, which is right up your alley, I think, Chris, isn't it? Because you are the horror dude. October 5th. We already covered that. We got to what we needed. Don Mancini's coming back to voice Chucky. Oh, did we get some more Hellraiser stuff? Just more pictures, not another trailer. That sucks. Oh, David Harbour joins Gran Turismo movie. Movie adaptation of the true story surrounding the popular Gran Turismo video games from PlayStation. Moving forward, and we'll start David Harbour. What? True story? Orlando Bloom and Archie Medic, the dude from freaking, I can't think of words right now. the HBO Max Painkiller? No. Oh, that's really going to bug me. I got to go look it up now. I can't think of the name of that show, and it was great, and I really liked it. Peacemaker. There we go. I didn't even have to look it up. I just almost got there. But yeah, I'm pretty sure Archie Medekwe is the dude from Peacemaker. So that's really cool. I like both of those guys. Orlando Bloom is great in that Amazon series, the one with the fairies and stuff. Not Lord of the Rings, the one that's like slightly more modern. Anyway, Harbour will play retired driver who teaches the teen. Oh, I totally skipped some stuff. THR offers first details with the word Gran Turismo. I don't think that's right. I think that's a typo. Will be directed by Neil Blomkamp. Oh, that's great. I really like Neil Blomkamp as a director. District 9 is a fantastic movie. Elysium, not so much. District 9, yes. Script will be written by Jason Hall, who wrote American Sniper, and Zach Balin, King Richard. All right, so I didn't really miss much, just a couple other credits. But David Harbour will play the retired driver who teaches a teen how to drive. Orlando Bloom will play a hungry marketing executive who's selling the sport of motor racing. Just may believe it's an art too. And oh, maybe Archie is not who I was thinking. All right, so we're going to go look this dude up because I thought I recognized that name and I did not. Due to the contract with Marvel. Yeah, I think that's accurate. I think that's going to be what closes out Phase 6. Is somewhere at the end of Phase 6 is where we're going to get introduced into mutants, which will be round about 2025. Madiqua. I think that might be how. Oh, I didn't want to look up IMDb. I want the wiki. Where's the wiki? Does he not have a Wikipedia page? It would seem not. So I guess we do want the IMDb. He was in Midsummer, Sea with Jason Momoa, Voyagers. Huh, I don't recognize him. Interesting. I don't know. I mean, I've seen Midsummer. Midsummer was a very interesting horror movie, but movie is based on, all right, so here we go. This is the Gran Turismo true story. Movie is based on a true story and is described as the ultimate wish fulfillment tale of a teenage Gran Turismo player whose gaming skills won a series of Nissan competitions to become actual professional race car driver. I don't remember this happening ever. Originally released in 97. That was the first Gran Turismo game. But when did the story supposedly take place? The new Gran Turismo game is supposed to release next August, but nothing beyond that. As far as what that story that they're talking about is. So that's interesting. We'll have to maybe look that up for a follow-up in the regular show. The same time, we already going to be choosing millions because at the end of Miss Marvel. Don't worry about it. At the end of Miss Marvel, we were introduced that she's actually a mutant. Yes. I don't know that they actually used that word, though. I think he said something about her DNA being different, but I'm pretty sure he didn't say mutant because that's the big... That's the big no-no word, right? When they had the rights from Marvel before Disney owned Marvel, that was the thing that no one else could say was mutant. You could not say the word mutant. So I don't think he said that she was a mutant. I just think he said that there was something different about her DNA. I could be wrong because I didn't watch Ms. Marvel. I just read about the episodes as they were airing. So perhaps I am incorrect, but I'm pretty sure that's accurate. All right, so we're just taking a look at... That's it? That's all we get? Just a picture of her head. Oh, no. Oh... A little bit more. Definitely tearing away the skin. I kind of missed the giant leather coat, not going to lie. And I think, I don't know. I don't know. There's something weird about there. I guess I should be politically correct, right? She's a they, I believe. They, them pronouns. Very strange. I don't know how I feel about that. Have you seen these yet, Chris? Do you know? Are you a fan? Let's put it that way. Are you a fan of the original Hellraiser? And what do you think about Jamie Clayton? Uh-oh, something new just posted. Go back to the top. Venom 3 may have a release date. Oh. Sony again announces new releases date. That's me not reading right. Sorry. So Sony is again new release dates for Spider-Man Universe spinoff Marvel films, which includes Kraven, Madame Web, and Venom 3. Kraven was originally slated to release January 13th, but now pushed back to October 6th. Madame Web had a July 7th release date, shifted to originally, and then July, and then October, and is now February 16th of 24. Untitled Marvel movie was set for June 7th of 24 and is now back a month to July 12th. Spider-Man multiverse animated films still have their release dates. So across the multiverse, or across the Spider-Verse, is June 2nd. Beyond the Spider-Verse is March 29th of 24. So they're actively developing both movies at the same time. I think we talked about that, actually. Kraven. Oh, and then we're just going into details about each movie, and we've already done all that. So we don't need to continue on that route. Now we got to find Hellraiser. There we go. Amber Heard. This is the one that I saw at the top of the page that I was kind of curious. Accused of blackmail. Big rumors offer that Amber Heard is reportedly blackmailing men in Hollywood, which has seen the actress blacklisted, which may involve Aquaman director James Wan, star Jason Momoa, and producer Zack Snyder. I can read, I swear. It's actually the third time we've heard something involving Amber Heard having this kind of blackmailing to get parts. This is one of my regular sources. So this is the first I've heard of this. So I don't know how this is the third time, but this comes from Australian gossip site Pop Topic. Insider source has filled them in that Amber Heard has reportedly been blacklisted in Hollywood over blackmailing. So she's not going to be cast in anything else. Not because she lied about the Johnny Depp situation or lied about making such a generous money donation or anything like that, but because she's blackmailing people to get roles, which is also horrible, but I feel like the two together do not speak highly. Worth a mention is that Amber Heard got into trouble while in Australia and was charged with illegally importing animals, where she pled guilty to falsifying travel documents. Oof, back in 2016. Yikes. All right, I'm sorry, Chris. I was not paying attention to the chat screen. Like a mutation. Yeah. See, so he didn't, I mean, that's close. So I don't know if that violates the vocabulary rules or not, because it's mutation and not mutant. And their legal stuff like that is very word specific. So that might skirt the line of being a, them being able to say that because it's mutation and not mutant. Plus the 97 X-Men theme played for us. Oh, I didn't know that part. Or I did and I forgot, but either way, that's kind of cool. 97 X-Men theme as in the animated series X-Men theme. Cause that would be 97 X-Men 97. Yeah. So you're talking animated series. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Oh no, that's not it. There we go. There it is. All right. I found it. We're good. That's really cool. So it was like, when he said that, I dig it. I think that's a cool little Easter egg. If that's happening the way I'm picturing it in my head, I think that's a really fun little Easter egg for a show that probably not a lot of people who watched the original X-Men cartoon series actually watched currently. That I can't imagine a whole lot of millennial dudes who were the target audience for that animated series were also watching Ms. Marvel. We are outside of their target demographic for that show. But still, cool either way. Amber Heard, not a great person. We're moving on. I don't care anymore. Taika Waititi, Star Wars, Thor 5, In Doubt, following Love and Thunder blunder. All right, so this is going to get into Love and Thunder numbers, I would imagine. Game of Thrones creators David Benioff and D.B. Weiss are supposed to develop new Star Wars movies, but following disappointment in the last couple seasons of their HBO series, they stepped away from their Lucasfilm deal. Likewise, following Wonder Woman being a complete disaster, Patty Jenkins stepped away. Rian Johnson is also supposed to be developing Star Wars, but his Last Jedi, blah, 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 blah. Where does it talk about? All right, regarding Taika Waititi and his Star Wars movie In Doubt, info comes from Giant Freaking Robot, who have a very mixed track record. These guys, if I were to get a piece from them on the rumor mill section of a regular episode, we would probably give it a 50-50 because their track record is shaky at best. But they say Waititi will not be returning to Marvel for Thor 5 due to mixed reception to Thor Love and Thunder. The site reports points to previously confirmed scoops from the source of the rumor and adds that the lukewarm reception of Thor Love and Thunder, Taika Waititi feels he cannot. All right, let's go look up Thor Love and Thunder numbers. Financial information. So opening weekend made $144 million, which is almost half of what they needed. Production budget is 250, theater counts. So info it adjusted, they made their money back plus some. So it's not the greatest. I don't care about all time numbers. It's not the greatest Marvel release, but it's definitely not the worst. I would imagine ranking of other records. Nope. It comes in number five, biggest domestic July weekend. So that's another number five, top 2022 theater average. Oof, that's not one that you want to be very low on anyway. Biggest domestic July day, number four. Huh. Number 14 in previews. So it's not, I mean, I wouldn't say that's lukewarm. I'd say that's pretty strong showing for any movie, just because it's a Disney movie that changes the conversation a little bit, granted. So worldwide box office is $500 million more than what they needed. So yeah, they tripled their money. That's not a weak showing. That's not even, that's better than lukewarm even. So I feel like this is, you gotta go to the source, man. You gotta check out the claims that these sites make, because there's no reason to believe that a movie that made triple its money back was lukewarm or did poorly at all. That's pretty dang good for a movie. It just because most Disney movies do about that or better doesn't mean that that's a bad showing. That's just silly. Chris says, yay. Also in She-Hulk, there's like shoe versions of other characters. Like you guessed it. One of the Wolverine. Yeah. I saw the Wolverine one. I didn't see Cyclops, but I think I heard about it. How are you feeling about She-Hulk? I'm assuming you're actively watching it. So I watched the first episode and was not impressed. So I'm gonna ask you that one. What do you feel about it? Just because, like, I know what the trades feel about it, and I know what the alternative media sites feel about it, and they're not the same. My dad likes it, and he's literally twice my age. So I think that's an interesting state of things that my dad, who is one of the most conservative people I know, really likes, well, passively likes She-Hulk. So what do you think? Because since you're a bit younger, I'm very interested what you think about She-Hulk there, Chris. And everybody always comes back to Captain Marvel doing $1 billion too. Back onto the article at hand. Captain Marvel did do $1 billion at the box office. Love and Thunder made less than Ragnarok. Of course it made less than Ragnarok. Ragnarok came out while we were still building up to the Avengers movies, the Endgame and Infinity War and whatever. So like everything that came out in that era is going to do better. So I don't think that's a fair comparison, because now Disney has to rebuild that momentum, because they kind of, for lack of a better term, they kind of blew it on the Avengers movies, and then everything kind of was in disarray because they lost a bunch of their actors. So they have to rebuild and get back that momentum, which is going to take them, what did it take them the first time, like 6 years? So it's going to probably take them something close to that. I would imagine we're looking at another 2 to 3 years of momentum building before we can even pretend like their movies are going to do that much business again, because nobody cares yet. We haven't gotten enough content with these characters to really care. But once we get to that point, I'm sure they'll have a similar showing. I don't think it's going to be probably quite as big ever again, but it'll be pretty dang close. But the only reason Captain Marvel did $1 billion is because they marketed it as, you need to see this movie to see Endgame in order for you to understand everything that Endgame has to offer. Like, that's how that movie was marketed. So if it's billed as required reading, of course it's going to make $1 billion, because everyone who's excited about Endgame is going to go see that because they think it's going to factor into Endgame. And when it didn't really factor into Endgame, everyone is a little grumpy about it. So that is what it is. So we'll see what's going on. All right, so we're over Taika. Transformers Earthspark coming to New York Comic Con. Don't care. X-Men writer hopes Stephen Amell reconsiders Attack on Animal Rescue. Yeah, I kind of saw something about that. I'm not inclined to read about Stephen Amell, because I'm sure it's somebody taking something out of context, and we're not going to talk about it. Now we're back into stuff for Wednesday, because New York City Comic Con includes Batman, Superman, Mortal Kombat, DC. So they're going to have a preview for the new Mortal Kombat animated movie at New York Comic Con, which is cool, but... it's fun to watch cameos like Abomination. The show I really enjoyed is Moon Knight. Yeah, I agree. I think so far, I dug Falcon and Winter Soldier for about 2/3 of it. I think the last 3 episodes or so really kind of unraveled in a way that wasn't entertaining. But I think Moon Knight's probably their most solid from what I've watched of the Marvel shows. Yeah, I can't think of anything that even kind of came close to Moon Knight. I totally agree with that. I think Moon Knight is their strongest show so far. Halloween ends. Oh, yeah, we're into Wednesday stuff. So let's go do this thing. We can go to Bounding and see if there's anything interesting in there. But I think we're just going to switch over to music. Yeah, they're talking about kind of the same stuff. 20 minutes of absolutely nothing. Yeah, that's what I heard. Sony claims Microsoft... Oh, that's right. We got to talk about this. All right, so... The Microsoft Activision purchase is really causing ruffling some feathers over at Sony, and so they're swapping barbs. So let's get into this, shall we? Sony, excuse me. Sony has some choice words to share over the Microsoft Activision Blizzard deal, specifically in relation to the mega-popular Call of Duty franchise. While Sony argues it's one more step towards elbowing PlayStation out of the Call of Duty sphere, Microsoft has a different take on the whole situation. Obviously, they've said multiple times that they're not going to go exclusive with Call of Duty for a few iterations. Now, exactly what a few means still remains to be seen, so Sony could... is probably right to feel uncomfortable about this, but still, it's going to be a little while. Continuing, speaking to The Verge in early September, Microsoft Gaming CEO and Xbox Chief Phil Spencer stated that Call of Duty would remain on PlayStation for a while yet. Quote, in January, we provided a signed agreement to Sony to guarantee Call of Duty on PlayStation with feature and content parity for at least several more years beyond the current Sony contract, on an offer that goes well beyond typical gaming industry agreements, unquote. Spencer insisted. Earlier, Bloomberg reported, citing insiders, that the FPS titan would still be on PlayStation for at least the next 2 years because their contract with Activision Blizzard for Call of Duty is up, I believe, this year. So, again, I feel like that's Microsoft being pretty dang generous. Continuing on, PlayStation CEO Jim Ryan told GamesIndustry.biz, I hadn't intended to comment on what I understood to be a private business discussion, but I feel the need to set the record straight because Phil Spencer brought this to the public forum. He continued, Microsoft has only offered for Call of Duty to remain on PlayStation for 3 years after the current agreement between Activision and Sony ends. After almost 20 years of Call of Duty on PlayStation, their proposal was inadequate on many levels and failed to take account of the impact on our gamers. So what about, I'm cutting away for a second, what about now that they own Bungie, are they not going to try and push the next Bungie game to be exclusive to PlayStation? Are they not going to try and get, Destiny? Are they not going to try and make Destiny 3, say, exclusive for PlayStation? Like, I feel like this is... just Sony getting butthurt about something they're actively trying to do back to Microsoft just in for a different game. Continuing on. Where is it? Where did I leave off? Yeah. We want to guarantee PlayStation gamers continue to have the highest quality Call of Duty experience. Microsoft's proposal undermines this principle. You bought the company that Microsoft made famous. Again, Bungie. Come on now, guys. Oh, boy. Oh, Loki was okay. I totally wasn't even thinking about Loki. Loki was good as well. Moon Knight was great. I mean, like, its finale was nice. I have to show that doesn't have any references to other Marvel... there's a reason why it didn't have references to other Marvel characters or movies. I really can't say the... that because we gotta wait till season 2. So the reason that Moon Knight didn't have references is because it was too dark. So the producers at Marvel said that it was going to be Elseworlds at first. So it exists in its own micro universe effectively. I think that might change because of the popularity of season 1. I think season 2 might be different, but yeah, that was definitely on purpose. They didn't reference any other Marvel goings on because it was dark. There was a lot of violence. There was foul language, all these things. And that's not the Disney brand. So I don't know. It was just an interesting kind of ruffling of feathers with that, but it did well. So I think that, yeah, you're right. Season two will be the deciding factor of where it sits in the Marvel universe. But yeah, Loki was fun. I feel like there was some really good fan servicey stuff, but Moon Knight was the superior series. Oops. Oh no. Sorry. I just opened up an extra window for no reason. Close. All right. So back to Call of Duty. Games industry.biz later reported that the UK's Competition and Markets Authority ruled the acquisition, quote, may be expected to result in a substantial lessening of competition within a market or markets in the UK. I'm formulating a video that I think we're going to get into this conversation a little bit, because I don't think this is accurate. And the kind of the genesis for my thoughts on this come from esports, because I think esports is, Devin Nash put it very accurately, that the current market cannot support the current esports model, where each individual game gets its own sport event around it. So like Mortal Kombat has its very own esport events, and Street Fighter has its very own esports events, and Halo has their own, and Overwatch has their own, and Call of Duty has their own. That's not sustainable. That model doesn't work. So this is kind of an extension of that mindset of each individual game is a market unto itself. I don't think that's an accurate way of looking at the market. So the UK Competition and Markets Authority saying that it's going to result in, quote, a substantial lessening of competition within a market or markets is inaccurate, because the market is not Call of Duty. The market is first-person shooters. So the analysis that I want to really get into is esports. Will esports, it's obvious that it can't handle the current model. So would it benefit from doing an FPS league where each week is a different first-person shooter? So you have all however many teams, 12 teams or whatever, in the FPS league. Week one, you're playing Halo. Week two, you're playing Call of Duty. Week three, you're playing Overwatch. So on and so forth until you get to the finals, or you get to the final tournament or whatever. And at the finals, the final round is decided by whoever has the best record up to that point decides what game and what variation of that game they get to play. So like if I'm just going to pull names out of at random. If a team from Seattle excels at, say, Halo 2, and they have the best league score, they have the most winningest record, then they get to say, all right, the finals is decided in Halo 2. Halo 2 multiplayer is where we're going to play. Or a team from California, they excel at Call of Duty Modern Warfare. And so they get to finals and say, we're going to do Call of Duty Modern Warfare, or we're going to do Splinter Cell, or, you know, something. I think that is a much more enjoyable for the viewers, because then you have a bigger pool of talent to follow and to appreciate. It also makes it a little bit more cutthroat. So then that also increases viewership. So again, there's a video brewing in here, but to get back to this, there is not a Call of Duty market. There is a gaming market, and more specifically, there is a first person shooter gaming market. But for someone to own the rights to a specific game does not lessen the competition within a market. I think, I again, I'm not a lawyer, and I haven't really looked into this as much as I want to, which is why I haven't made the video yet. But I feel like that's going to be something resembling the conclusion of this. Werewolf by Night. Yeah, that looks really interesting. I don't know how excited I am about it necessarily, but I mean, Man-Thing's in it, so that's going to be a lot of fun anyway. All right, so continuing on. Sorry. Went off on a little tangent. Excuse me. They feared the $68.7 billion acquisition could mean Microsoft would be withholding or degrading content in Activision Blizzard games and services on non-Microsoft platforms. This was despite the recent announcement of Call of Duty Modern Warfare 2 having PlayStation exclusive Oni Operator Pack pre-order bonus. So Sony's just mad they're going to be missing out on their exclusives. But whatever. The CMA were also concerned Microsoft could use its influence in the industry along with Activision's catalog to, quote, raise barriers to entry and foreclose rivals in cloud gaming services. I mean, that's how Microsoft has built their company to what it is. So that shouldn't really be a question either. In short, they expressed concerns of Microsoft's deal being anti-competitive. I don't know. Again, I feel like they're walking a pretty fine line there. I don't think that it will fall over the side of anti-competitiveness. These concerns stemmed from Microsoft gaining command over major franchises such as Call of Duty, World of Warcraft, and giving them the potential of, quote, harming consumers by impairing Sony's, Microsoft's closest gaming rival, ability to compete, unquote. Huh, yeah, that's interesting. But yeah, that's where it's... where it falls right now. We're just going on with the back and forth on the barbs, and that's just, it gets really borderline petty. Daredevil Born Again will ignore previous, yep, and then we're back into stuff. All right, so let's go hit up the music news. I think there was something, let's go check a source real quick off stream. I gotta go check an inbox. Because there was something. Timothy Chalamet. Oh, has 7 musical numbers in Wonka. That's kind of awesome. Blade Runner 2099 series officially moving forward at Prime Video. Oh, that's even more awesome. There we go. Black Dahlia Murder. That's where we're going. We're going Loudwire, baby. Yep, Loudwire. All right, that's where we're going. So, Loudwire. Oops. Loudwire.com. 8 musical groups that influenced nu metal. Yes. Vicky Cornell opens about Chris's death. Tobias Forge, blech. Demi Lovato, even more blech. Foo Fighters ready their own essential best of album. That's cool. 8 musical groups, we already skipped past that. Fozzy postponed remaining tour dates while Jericho recovers. Beto O'Rourke's son see Iron Maiden together. Don't care. John Bonham's grandson. Jaeger Henry drops pop punk song Hate Me. We might have to do a reaction or something to that. Tributes to Soilworks, David Anderson. Oh, yeah, Soilworks guitar player passed, which sucks. New rock and metal albums out today. Foo Fighters, Everlong on Billboard charts number 1. Of course it is, because it's a wonderful song, and it should never leave the Billboard charts. Where is it? New age metal bands from Finland. Billy Corgan, longtime girlfriend Chloe Mendel, just got engaged. Sublime biopic finds director. Oh, hey, there we go. That's a bunch of different things that we can talk about right there. Sublime biopic, so on and so forth. All right, Sublime's promising career may have been cut short by the death of singer Bradley Nowell, but their music has lived on, and now their story will be told in film form. Sony's 3000 Pictures, Turner Entertainment, Dave Kaplan, and Paterno, are developing a film about the iconic ska punk band. I don't know if ska punk is accurate, but okay. I would say a little more reggae punk, maybe. Some of the particulars are starting to come together, with Francis Lawrence now on board to direct the film. The Australian director is best known for helming films in the Hunger Games series, while also taking on such films as Red Sparrow and Water for Elephants. Red Sparrow was okay. Water for Elephants was pretty good, if I remember correctly. Lawrence got his start in the music world, directing videos for Bad Religion, Fastball. Oh, nice. Fastball. Good deal. Third Eye Blind, Aerosmith, Green Day, POD, Garbage. I love it. Alanis Morissette, Avril Lavigne, Michelle Branch, Incubus, Goo Goo Dolls, Audioslave, and others. Four-time Emmy nominee Chris Mundy, best known for his work on Ozark, as well as the TV series Bloodline, Hell on Heels, and Criminal Minds, is writing the script for the Sublime biopic. Biopic. It's not a documentary. It's a biopic. So it's going to be like Walk the Line or the Elvis one that just hit HBO Max, which was, I like Baz Luhrmann, but I did not like that Elvis movie. So interesting. Sublime band members Bud Gaw and Eric Wilson, as well as Troy and Jacob Noel, on behalf of Bradley Noel's estate and Surf Dog / DKM Scott Stein, will serve as executive producers. Oh, that's good. That's a good sign. That's a really good sign when people who are that close to the subject matter are part of the team that is making the thing happen. And then it gets into who Sublime was. If you don't know who Sublime was, Google is a beautiful thing. First ever vinyl record that's also a guitar pedal. Chad Kroeger names a band he never wants to follow. Don't care. Oh, come on. Unreleased Aussie songs with Taylor Hawkins? I didn't know that. Ricky Racket, Tobias Forge, Mark Morton Rick's Every Lamb of God album. They're all number one. System of a Down, rally support after Azerbaijan bombing of Armenian border. Oof. Maybe that means we're going to get some more System of a Down. That's a horrible way to frame that post, but I mean, it's where my brain went. Music is inherently political. An interview with Giovanni Minazzi, who's death metal bassist and PhD candidate, discusses the multifaceted relationship between music, politics, and fan expectations. Nope, don't care. I don't know where this article was. There we go. Black Dahlia. Yay! Let's talk about the Black Dahlia because we need to. Trevor Sternad, I was saying it incorrectly when we originally talked about his passing. Black Dahlia are going on tour, play October 28th in Detroit, Michigan, to celebrate the life and legacy of late vocalist Trevor Sternad. Co-founding guitarist Brian Eschbach will now occupy the role of frontman, and vacating the guitar role has afforded the death metal icons the ability to bring back guitarist Ryan Knight. Oh, that's great. Oh, that's really great. The show will be held at St. Andrew's Hall and will feature special guests Darkest Hour and Plague Years. Oh, Plague Years is so good. They just put out a new single that's been all over Sirius XM, and it's fantastic. I really dig Plague Years. Sorry, aside. It's that sounds like that might be, because I remember there was another article, and I think the one I was looking for, and I just can't find it. So maybe we can do this. Yeah, let's do this. No, everything else is, so it might not have been Loudwire that I saw, but they, it sounds like they're going to move forward as a band with this lineup. So that's pretty heavy and epic. And I'm totally not reading chat. I'm sorry. Going to be black and white, which is interesting. Yeah, because the comic book was in black and white. So that makes sense. I just really want to see Man-Thing happen on a screen in front of my face, because that's just way too much fun. Let's get back to the news. I think we're getting close to the end of the first part. So I'm going to actually split this show up tonight a little bit differently than we have been. Oops. A little bit differently than we have been, because I wanted to do a thing about AI art. And because I just did the quick and nerdy about it. So I think we're going to do a little bit of a little more of an elaboration on some of the AI interactive, what is the words I'm looking for? Some of the, it's a little bit different of a take on the differences between some of those AI generators. That's what I was trying to say. Lorna Shore just dropped a deathcore ballad.
Really?
That's interesting.
Slipknot fan owns biggest collection of masks in the world. Dude has a YouTube channel all about it. Ollie Sykes explains why new BMTH. Why can I not think of whatever? Soil work dead at 47. That is so sad. Blacky Lawless isn't concerned about woke culture. Yeah, he wouldn't be. Yeah, I think that's where we're going to call this part of the stream. This has been the news right here with me, Generally Nerdy. So we'll be taking a brief break. And like I said, going to be coming back and we're going to talk a little bit about AI art before we jump into the gaming portion. So if you are here lurking, or if you, Christopher, who is active in the chat, thank you very much, want to stick around, we're going to talk a little bit about AI interfaces and some of the AI art that is coming out and like the differences between them, because there are some free ones and how to keep them free and how they stack up against things like Midjourney and DALL-E 2 that are all over the news right now. And just all over the internet, like everybody's trying to get in on Midjourney, which everybody can. And we're going to talk about that. So, yeah, we're going to take our break. I got to feed my little babies, and then we'll be back talking AI and then playing a little bit of Shredder's Revenge. I just got it downloaded, so we're going to do this. We're going to do the thing. All right. Talk amongst yourselves for a moment, and I shall return. Before we get out of here, nerds, again, thank you very much. And always, always remember that if it's generally nerdy, it's probably here.